RV Family Travel Atlas is sponsored by Jayco. Since 1968, Jayco has been providing a way for generations of families to create lasting memories. For more information, visit your local Jayco dealer or head over to jayco.com.
And by the Thetford Corporation. The industry expert and innovation leader, Thetford has made RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. To see a complete lineup of products, visit Thetford.com.
And by AccuvaTech. Dedicated to providing your family with safe drinking water, Accuva makes UV LED water purification systems for your RV and home. Visit AccuvaTech.com to find a water purification system that meets your needs.
And by Cabela's, the world's foremost outfitter. Cabela's has everything you need to get your family into the great outdoors. Visit Cabela's.com to shop for everyone on your Christmas list or to find a store near you.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we write about RV and family travel with our three boys, Theo, Max, and Wes.
You can read about our adventures at RVFamilyTravelAtlas.com, and you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram.
On this week's episode of RV Family Travel Atlas, it's our third annual Winterization Blues episode to get our northern listeners through the upcoming cold and dreary months. Many of you have given your beloved RVs the pink drink and put them into hibernation. You might be sitting around thinking, what now?
We will share some of the ways we plan on coping without camping in the winter. We'll also take a look back on a few of our best tips from the past 2 years, as well as some of our listener recommendations.
You might think there can't possibly be light and love in your life until your camping kickoff in the spring, but we know that you can get through these months if we stick together. You are listening to episode number 173, Kick Those RV Winterization Blues 2018.
Before we head into this week's featured topic, Kick Those RV Winterization Blues 2018, it is time for our RV News Minute, which is sponsored by our friends at Accuva.
Accuva is an innovative leader in building water filtration systems for both the home and the RV, and they are dedicated to providing families with safe drinking water, no matter where you are.
And I've looked at their Instagram account. They look very smart and very professorial, but very hip and cool at the same
time. Well, you have to be, right? Because you're making water filtration systems for the great outdoors, right?
Yeah, and so, you met this crew.
I did, and I was really glad that I met them in person, and they were able to walk me through it and everything, because I'm one of those people, I need lessons, right? I needed it like a hands-on demo.
You called me after you met them.
They were great. They were so much fun. And they're from Vancouver. So it was like the chances of us both just happening to be in Louisville at the RV convention and everything. It was really great that I got to look at this product. I got to dive into it. They got to show me everything about it. I felt much more comfortable.
But you're most excited because we can ditch the bottled water in 2018 and just start drinking from the tap.
That's right. And I never used one of those water filters that you put on the hose either. Because you know what? There's a lot of evidence that those aren't that effective anyway, because they just filter out sort of for taste. But then you've got it running through a hose that, you know, I always feel like we're not really cleaning the hose and everything. I don't know. So I was just never like that was that great of a deal. Well, this, the Accuva uses UV sterilization technology. So it filters the water, but then it also removes all of those bacteria and viruses that those regular just like carbon filters and charcoal filters can let through. So
and
I'm excited.
And when you're going to a wide variety of different campgrounds, you just don't know about the reliability of their water. You don't.
And the filter uses LED lights, which means that they work for like over 10 years without being replaced, because the you know, LED lights use such little and they last for so long. So that's good too. And we'll be able to use it along with our solar power because it takes so little trickle charge to run it. So that's
exciting. I'm excited to add this product and I think it's very cool looking as well. So where can we find out more information?
AccuvaTech.com. And you can also look in the show notes for this episode. I have the link right there.
Okay, so it's time for our RV News Minute and we're staying on a Canadian theme here. Kind of.
There's been a lot of Canadian stuff going on lately. Our solar panels are
they just keep making news.
do. There's a lot going on up there in Canada. All right. Well, this is exciting because we have been friendly with Outdoorsy for a long time. In fact, that was one of our earlier shows.
We interviewed Jen from Outdoorsy in our first 6 months of podcasting, I think.
It was such an early show. I think like the number for the episode was in the 30s.
Yeah, we were hip to Outdoorsy early.
So we've always thought that this company had something going on because we've been thinking about being a part of that whole peer-to-peer rental for years.
Oh, we're going to do it. We're going to do it. But we'll talk about that another time.
Right. So, you know, we definitely had them on the show. We had them on as a sponsor last year. So now we're really excited. We just found out that they have opened up in Canada for Operation for Business, right?
Now, operational now, or is there a date coming up where they're going to be operational?
It's announced its launch to all the Canadians.
Well, I think this is cool for two reasons. For our Canadian listeners out there, and we know you are out there, you can now do peer-to-peer RV rentals using Outdoorsy, which is fantastic. Also, for our American listeners, if you want to take a vacation up to Canada, you could hypothetically hop on a plane and then go rent an Outdoorsy RV and do that type of vacation, which we think is a pretty cool way to go.
Yeah. So I have a quote from Jen Young, who's the Outdoorsy Chief Marketing Officer. So she in a press release, there was a quote from her that said, "I'm a proud Canadian, born and bred. The company was started in my home in Vancouver, Canada, but scaled in the United States." And I didn't know that she was...
We need to do an episode on like cool people from Vancouver who have links to the RV industry.
So here's the continuation of the quote. "We're pumped to finally launch it with Aviva, the best insurance partner bringing insurance solutions to Canadians from coast to coast. This is an incredibly special homecoming for me." Now, what she's referring to there is insurance has always been a big part of the Outdoorsy experience. The most troublesome thing to people when they think about renting out their RV is always like, what could happen? And we learned last year, having them on as a sponsor and everything, that they take that insurance portion of things sort of more seriously, and they expand their coverage more than any of the other companies out there that do the peer-to-peer rentals.
All right, so good for you, Jen.
Yeah,
getting back to your roots in Vancouver.
Aviva Canada, that's the insurance company. They have underwritten a $2 million third-party liability insurance program in partnership with Outdoorsy, and they back the company's launch in Canada. So there you go. You can do the peer-to-peer rentals up in Canada.
So if you live on the East Coast of the United States and you want to like take an RV trip to Vancouver, you don't have to drive all the way out there.
Yeah.
Right?
Nope. Fly and rent. We love that option after doing it last summer ourselves.
I know. And we might do it again this summer, but flying and renting an RV as opposed to flying and staying in the cabins.
Well, we did a fly and a rental down to Florida last winter. We've got another
doing
one coming
again
up this winter. It really is a nice way if you're addicted to the RV lifestyle. It's a great way to travel.
Well, it's cool. You get to try other RVs too, frankly. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, listen, this is my favorite recurring RV FTA episode, the Kick Those Winterization Blues episode. I'm so excited to be doing this, and Stephanie and I have some great new tips. But we're going to break it into three segments. The first segment, we're going to go over our best and worst ideas from the past 2 years. And then in the second segment, we're going to give all fresh new ideas for 2018. And in the third segment, we'll come back and we'll give some listener ideas that we got off the RVFTA Facebook group. So everybody needs to stay tuned. Oh, put on your fluffy socks.
Yeah,
no.
Get cozy.
You don't call them fluffy socks.
Fuzzy.
Fuzzy socks. Pour yourself a cup of tea, cuddle up next to that spouse or that boyfriend or girlfriend that you listen to RVFTA with, or it could be your dog, and stay tuned. Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's time for our first segment in our big, gigantic, epic Kick Those Winterization Blues 2018 episode. But first, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Thetford, and they are up there in that cold, wintry Ann Arbor, Michigan weather. They probably need to kick the winterization blues, too.
Yeah. Well, Thetford has made RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. And if you are planning on trying to beat the winterization blues, check out some of the options for Thetford porta potties. Right?
Because you still need to go to the bathroom in the winter. No, because they help you get out and camp in the winter. And we swear by them because they really have helped us get out and do winter camping weekends.
Yes. As we talked about in the past, like extending our camping season, our camping in the winter is a big part of kicking those blues. And using the Theft Reporter Potty was like a revelation last winter. It really worked well for us.
Now, you can use your RV toilet in-house in the RV and flush with antifreeze, but you don't have to. You don't even have to mess with that or take the chance that you're doing something wrong that's going to mess up the winterization. And a lot of people say, oh, well, just winterize it again after you camp. I don't want to go camping for 2 nights and winterize my RV again in the winter when it's cold out. If you want to do that, you're awesome. You're more awesome than I am. But we just bring this porta potty and then I dump it at the campground in the sewer line and it just works incredibly well.
Now, you reviewed the 320p over on our YouTube channel, but now we have some other porta potties lined up to review.
The 320p is great. It's really great for the kids. It does sit low to the ground. Okay. So some people mentioned that when I reviewed it. So we asked that for to give us two other ones that are a little bit bigger and a little bit. I did. And these are more like the Cadillac and the Jaguar of portable camp toilets that we have coming. So I'll test those too. And for those of you that have the concern that the 320p is going to be hard to get down to because it's low to the ground, we're going to have some other options that we'll review in a future episode.
All right. You can find a link to that YouTube video and product in the show notes at rvfta.com.
Yeah, I review the 320p, which I call my little buddy.
Your little buddy, I heard that. All right.
They should rename it. They should rename it. The 320p. Don't call it the 320p. Call it the little buddy 320p.
The little buddy. You think that'll be more attractive or just creepy? I don't know.
Both.
I don't know if they should take marketing
Both.
Advice
All right. From you. To get more information on Thetford products, you just go over to Thetford.com, right?
Yep. All right. Let's move ahead.
All right. We're going to go back to the past episodes and just quickly go over our best ideas and our worst ideas. And the worst ideas were both mine, which I'll say right away. And we're going to do this quickly because you've heard us talk about a lot of these things before. But I went back and listened to the two podcasts last night. There was a lot of good ideas. Okay?
Yeah, we're good at keeping ourselves busy.
We're not bad at this. Actually.
Well, what we always say to our kids is too, like, you and I are not people that get bored. We're just not.
Never been bored in my life.
Right. Like, we're never like, oh, what are we going to do? We always have a million things that we want to do that we're not getting to, right? There's just never enough time to do that.
I tell my students at school, if you're bored, read a book, and then you're not bored anymore.
And we are. We're readers. We have too many hobbies to be bored. So we always say that to our kids. Like, if they're ever bored, we're just like, we don't even understand that. Like, around here, we don't get bored. Like, I'll give you a chore because
I got a book at you.
I'll find you something to do. You better be careful.
Diary of a Wimpy Kid. Go.
So this is not something that's a challenge for us. We always have a long list of things we want to do, and we can fill up those winter months. As much as you say, oh, we can't camp. The winter months really fly by.
Okay, first of all, we can camp. So one of our best ideas from the past is keep camping.
Yeah.
Now, here at RVFTA, we've been saying for 3 years that more campgrounds are going to start staying open in the winter. And initially, people thought we were nuts. And I can go back and find you the Facebook comments about that. But guess what? More campgrounds are staying open in the winter. Yeah. And I'm not saying it's a flood of them, but more campgrounds are staying open. So you can keep camping. You can use your winterized RV and go on a camping trip. We do not recommend driving in unsafe conditions, please. Okay, but pick that mild weekend and go on a camping trip.
Yep. And one of our listeners said something like that on our Facebook group just recently. Like, I really am going to be watching those mild winter weekends like a hawk, right? Like watching the weather. And as soon as it pops up that, you know, up here in New Jersey, at least, we always have those freak weekends in like February where it's 58 degrees, 60 degrees. And you're like, oh my gosh, you have to be ready, prepared.
By the way, it's like 50 degrees today.
It is. It's gorgeous. It would be nice to be outside somewhere.
Other best idea from 2 years ago. Go to some RV shows even if you're not shopping. I mean, dangerous things could happen because you might end up like buying a new RV that you shouldn't buy. RV shows are fun. They remind you that spring is around the corner. And I know it sounds crazy. We always meet other RV owners and it's like, those are your people. That's what I said in that podcast. It's like going to church, man. Go hang out with your people at an RV show. It'll be a fun day.
Yeah, it's even our camping buddies. A lot of time we meet up at RV shows just for the day, right? Like people that we normally only see at the campground would be like, oh, there's RV shows happening.
And
meet
then
us
go
there.
Have lunch together.
You have lunch together. It's fun. It's a good way to pass a day.
Right. Now, the number one tip, and this is what a lot of you said on our Facebook group because I asked everybody, trip planning. I mean, it's really fun to plan a trip. Now, do Stephanie and I ever have arguments when we do trip planning? No. We never argue over trip planning at all.
Neither of us kept a straight
face. And we didn't argue this morning about planning a trip at all. But for most of you, you could probably spend hours planning trips and just enjoy that research and that process. Go watch YouTube videos of those destinations. Go back and listen to RVFTA podcasts that have covered those destinations. You can while away hours trip planning.
Right. And then you can while away hours debating what you're going to do with all that trip.
And then, as I said 2 years ago, then you cancel that trip and start over again.
That's exactly
plan
what
a trip
happens.
You know you probably won't really go on and then cancel it.
All right. Another one from the first year, which was super popular. And I still stand by it as like one of the best things you can do as a winner is actually make those photo albums. Now, at the time, I didn't even know about my favorite photo app, which is now Chatbook. So I've shared that in other episodes since then. At the time, it was more of like the Shutterfly book, you know, things like that. But now the Chatbooks app makes it so easy to go through and make those books.
And guess what we didn't do? We didn't make a chatbook from our Pacific Northwest trip.
Can we
please do that?
I am behind on that. And I thought as we were doing this, like, I have to do it because I did it for our Disney trip last year in the winter. And the kids loved it was so great. So I really have to do it for our Pacific Northwest trip.
The next one from 2 years ago is take winter day trips. A lot of RV owners, like, you kind of hibernate in the winter and you don't go out and do that fun trip in your local area. And I have to say, yesterday we did an awesome day trip in our area. We went to Asbury Park, New Jersey. We had lunch. We went to a vintage arcade. We had a blast. And I was really feeling the need to do that because we have not done any winter day trips over the last month or so. But we had a blast yesterday.
And it's always important to remember. I think I wrote a blog post a long time ago. And I'll link to it in this episode. And it was like being a tourist in your own hometown. And a lot of us who are travelers, we forget to treat our own area like we treat the areas that we travel in and always look for new things to explore. And, you know, we have things that our boys have not done in this area, like go to the Statue of Liberty, which is absurd. Our boys have been to Mount St. Helens, but they live 45 minutes from the Statue of Liberty, and we haven't taken them there.
Absurd is absolutely the right. It's absurd and ridiculous.
Yeah.
So our children have been to Portland and Seattle. They've never been to Manhattan. I could throw a baseball in.
Because we're so uninterested. We grew up going there. We're like, meh.
Because you get lazy about exploring your local area. Okay, now our worst tip from 2 years ago. And I know that sometimes I say things like this jokingly, sarcastically. I was being really
serious.
I was being serious. I suggested starting a local camping club. And if you didn't know people, to just walk around your neighborhood and knock on the doors of homes with RVs in the driveway. And I swear I was
you
not being
serious,
ironic.
Yeah.
And now I look
back.
Did
I just ignore you? Was I just kind of like,
thing,
whatever? Because I would never do something like that.
The winterization blues can make you desperate. And it was a moment of desperation for me where I actually suggested doing that. And when we listen to some of our listener recommendations in the last segment, you'll see that some people get downright desperate when they get the winterization blues. So I think that was a moment of desperation for me.
Luckily, you didn't do it.
Well, people will think you're weird.
Yeah, because you are.
In New Jersey, someone will punch you in the face. Like, we have all these RVs in our neighborhood.
Get off my lawn.
If I knocked on the door and said, do you want to start a camping club with me? I would be punched in the face. Yeah, but that comedy sketch about, never mind.
Yeah.
About people. Like,
about visitors and guests coming over.
Like 20 years ago,
20
how everyone
years
loved
ago,
having
yeah,
guests
company,
over.
Company, company, right? Companies
and
here.
And now people run and hide when they have company. So
yeah,
true.
If you need to really laugh right now and cure your winterization blues, Google, like,
now you're going to have to link to it.
The comedian who does the company now and then kind of thing.
You're going to have to link to it.
All right, I'll link to it.
By the way, I'm totally wrong. I wouldn't get punched in the face. People wouldn't answer the door.
No, they wouldn't answer the door. They would be hiding.
Yeah. They would treat me like I was selling solar panels.
Yeah. All right. So now let's talk about our tips from our second annual winterization blues episode.
Great episode.
Which was fantastic. Loved it. We had fun with that.
Hooga.
Hooga. Getting hoogly.
Getting hoogly. And by the way, your outfit right now is very hoogly.
Why are you bringing up my outfit?
You've got a very cute flannel shirt on.
Okay.
You've got some blue jeans on. You're wearing your brown Uggs that I think I got you as a gift. And then you have this very hoogly sweater. And I wouldn't even know how to describe this sweater. It has a big fluffy neck. And it's short sleeve, actually. So your flannel shirt comes out from underneath it. It's adorably hoogly.
Okay. I can't believe you're talking about my outfit on a podcast. The whole point is that I don't have to, like, you know, prepare an outfit for the podcast. And this is what happened. I only have a long sleeve flannel shirt on because it's really nice out today. But we were coming into the basement podcast studio to record this episode, and it's always a little chillier. So I threw on a sweater that might not normally be paired with this shirt for
recording. It actually matches in a weird kind of way.
And you're calling me out to thousands of people who are listening.
And in the background of her right now in this hoogly outfit, and I'm kidding you not, is a stack of 7 Cabela's sleeping bags that are all red, plaid, and brown sleeping bags. So the whole podcast studio right now is very hoogly.
Oh boy.
So we suggested following this Dutch trend, right? And getting cozy, having fires, snuggling, reading books, drinking hot coffee. And we did all of those things last year except for the snuggling part. So this year we're gonna do that.
Are you gonna work on that? Yes. I'm not gonna be able to.
Now, the second tip from last year, a little crazy, but I don't know, I think a good tip. Learn to play an instrument, and particularly maybe like a campfire instrument. Yeah. Now, you learned to play the ukulele.
Yeah, and I have not been practicing as much as I was. Like, I was being good at it for a little while because I had this app on my phone, and you could go through and you could, like, learn certain songs. And I was having fun with it.
You were getting good at it.
Yeah, and I did drop it throughout the whole the ironic part, throughout the whole traveling season. Last year, I wasn't, like, practicing or anything. But I really do want to pick that back up. It's just one of those habits, right? Everybody that plays an instrument knows that you get in and out of the habit of it. And I should be a good example because I'm forcing the boys to take piano lessons and it's not their favorite half hour of the week.
There's blood.
It's bad. But I'm making them do it. So I should be a good example and say, look, I'm doing it too. It's good for your brain. It's good, you know, it's good for your smarts. Musical intelligence is a certain kind of intelligence.
I want a harmonica.
Okay.
I mentioned this. I know this is a crazy thing to say. I mentioned this to one of my students who's a musician. I know this student's a little bit of a musician. And I said, I want to get a harmonica. And he's like, it's so easy to learn to play the harmonica. So I'm going to learn to play the harmonica. Okay. We also recommended last year binge watching Rock the Park, which is still just one of our
top shows.
It's still on. I think they're in their 4th season now. It moves around as to where you can stream it.
Yeah.
I still think season 1 is on Netflix for streaming.
Yeah, and you can always get the DVDs from Netflix or something.
I don't think they sell the DVDs, honey. I'm sorry. Oh, I don't. And they had a couple of the seasons on Hulu, and I think it was dropped from Hulu. So you're going to have to dig around a little bit, but check out season 1 on Netflix.
All right. Now, this is something that I talked about last year, and I was building out a capsule wardrobe. Now, that may sound really weird to some folks, but I was surprised actually by the reaction to that. Like, how many people were really interested in that and just the desire, right? Like, I do think that sometimes we always feel like there's too much stuff in our lives these days and we're drowning in it, right? And we wish we had a more, like, simple, classic way to just get dressed in the morning. So we actually got a really big reaction to that. And I have to admit that I get more comments from people on my outfits than I would think I would, because I don't consider myself a fashionista. I'm not too super, like,
you
interested.
You could be if you wanted to be, and you're a mamanista. If you put more time into it, you could be. You're very stylish.
We'll come around to this on our new goals, but I do want to say that I think that it's been such a great thing for me to not think about clothes more, right? Because it's not like I want to go shopping more and blah, 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 and be obsessed with that, because I don't. But it's been really nice to be more comfortable with my clothing options and to have it be more manageable and to have a closet with clothes that I enjoy wearing.
Because when you have that sweater or that pair of jeans or that fleece that you really like to wear, why not wear it a lot?
Yep. And that's what's happened, is I learned how to say, what do I like to wear? And then replicate that. Not in a bunch of matching outfits, not in a bunch of shirts that are the same exact shirt in a million different colors, but you're replicating the comfort of it, why it feels good to you.
Do you know how you can tell that Americans have way too many clothes?
How?
If you own a house that was built 20, 30, 40 years ago, look at how big the closets are. Our house was built in the late 60s, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the closets are so small.
Yeah.
And it's not like, poor those people. They just didn't have enough clothes.
You know,
I never feel
that
way.
They always had something to wear, I guarantee it.
They kept
it
simple.
It's ridiculous. I like that meme that says, like, based on the amount of laundry that I do, I'm going to assume there's people living in my house that I haven't met yet. Like,
that's really funny, actually.
That's like one of my favorites.
It's like there's like a soccer team living in our house.
Because that's how I feel. I'm like, how could we possibly use this?
I'm infamous for wearing something once and throwing it in the wash. And, yeah. And except when I was in college, I just wore the same pair of pants every day
for
the
entire
whole semester.
They
were
really
nice
a true story,
brown
folks.
Corduroy pants. All right. I recommended last year taking an adult education class like at your local community college. I still think that's a great tip. Mm-hmm. I did two photography classes last year. I'm not signed up for anything this winter, but I'm going to look again. And a lot of, at least in our neck of the woods, they do winter hikes. They do photography lessons that are like one day long and you go out in the winter. So sometimes those adult ed classes can take you outside and get you out breathing some fresh air or just help you perfect a skill. So I still think whether it's cooking, photography, whatever, check out adult ed classes in your area.
All right. And what was the worst tip from the winterization blues last year?
Well, I was obsessed with Stranger Things. And I recommended to our listeners that they try to solve a neighborhood mystery.
Doesn't even make any sense.
Well, the problem was that some of our listeners took that advice. They tried, and there was a lot of issues, and a lot of them got into trouble, and I think there was a few arrests.
And there might be a new liability statement on our website.
Yeah, it didn't go well. So don't – this winter, we are specifically warning you, don't try to solve a neighborhood mystery.
Just watch the second episode
of Stranger
Things.
It's more cool to live in a neighborhood that has an unsolved neighborhood mystery than to live in a neighborhood where you've solved your neighborhood mystery.
All right, yeah. So just leave it unsolved. It's okay. All right. We are going to come back for segment two, and it is going to be our newest recommendations for kicking the winterization blues. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's time for segment two of our big Kick Those Winterization Blues 2018 episode, and we're going to give Jeremy's tips and Stephanie's tips. These are all fresh new tips for 2018, but first we have a sponsored message from our friends at Jayco.
There's a reason J-Flight has been America's best-selling line of travel trailers for more than a decade. With family-friendly floor plans, plenty of standards and options, and Jayco's two-year limited warranty, it gives you none of the worries and all of the fun. Available in three different models, the J-Flight SLX, the J-Flight, and the J-Flight Bungalow. There's a floor plan for every camper. Visit your local Jayco dealer or jayco.com for more information. Jayco, generations of family fun.
And I have to say, after 5 years of Jayco ownership, we have not had all of the worry. Really haven't. We've had all the fun and we haven't had all the worry. Love our two Jaycos. Okay. So are we ready for fresh new tips for kicking the winterization blues in 2018? Stephanie, this might be our best list yet.
Do you really think so?
Last year with the Hooga thing took it over the top.
Yeah.
So
all right.
But a lot of these tips are very Hoogly.
All right. What's your number one?
My number one. I am so thrilled about this tip. And for those RVFTA listeners who have been nerding out with us for the past 3 years, you know who you are, the librarians out there, the teachers. You're going to love this. Now, some of you will not. I recently purchased a DVD box set of an old TV show called On the Road with Charles Kuralt. I bought set number two because it was the cheapest one, actually. Right now they have set one, set two, set three,
look
and then
at
a few
you
other ones.
Saving money.
This show was on the air for 20 years, from like 1967 to 1987. And Charles Kuralt, who won Emmy Awards, who won Peabody Awards for the show, traveled the back roads and byways of America looking for unusual stories, unaverage stories about average people. The people that live on your block, the people that live in your neighborhood that are just a little bit quirkier, a little bit stranger. And he travels from place to place in a motorhome. And it says on the back of the box set he went through 6 motorhomes in the course of 20 years. He went all over America. Now, I will confess, I bought this recently. I only have watched one episode because I wanted to test it out for this podcast. The first episode was amazing. Stephanie, was I not sitting there like laughing and almost crying, enjoying the show?
It's true. You're taking full enjoyment
out of
your
purchase. The first episode... It's like there's always 5 or 6 different segments about all these kind of wacky and interesting Americans. The first episode had a 15-year-old teenage boy who was deaf and learned to be a clogger, which is this very fancy type of Southern dancing, which really is really hard to learn without being able to hear. He also interviewed an 87-year-old lady pilot who had had a trophy room full of trophies for winning all of these piloting competitions. And it was fascinating, too, because her whole life, men had been telling her she couldn't do it. And men had, and she won one race against men, and the next year they didn't let women in the race.
Yeah, shut that down.
Said men only the next year after she. So she was presented trophies by Amelia Earhart, and she had flown more than Amelia Earhart. It was just, oh my God, I was like laughing and crying watching these. There are so many interesting little stories, and I am so excited to watch all of these, and this is going to really help me get through some winterization blues. And I'm going to order the other box sets, by the way.
You can
Stephanie.
Finish that one first before you order any more, okay? I will finish what we have.
I'm not agreeing to that on
air. All right, number two.
Number two, I am a big fan of a photographer named Chris Burkhard. And he's huge on Instagram. I mean, he's got over 1 million followers on Instagram. He's one of the biggest adventure photographers on Instagram. But he's a lot more than an Instagrammer. He started out in surf photography, and I've known his name for years and admired his work for years. And he's a cold weather surf photographer and videographer. Recently, he did a featured film. It's 40 minutes, which for a surf movie is a featured surf movie, called Under an Arctic Sky. And they go to Iceland in search of great waves. And the cinematography is astonishing. And they find waves on the west coast of Iceland that have never been surfed before. They also – the last scene – should I give away what the last scene is or should I hold it?
No.
The last scene is one of the most magnificently beautiful things you will ever see on film. Now, I don't care if you're into surfing, if you've ever surfed. I don't care if you're 20 years old or 80 years old. Go watch this movie. It is a gorgeous documentary about the beauty of Iceland and surfing in Iceland, and it's streaming on Netflix now.
And if you're like me, you just think the whole time these people are kooks. They're totally crazy. Yeah. All right. So number three, not surprised that this is on your
list. No, snuggle up with a good book. Now, we've said that before, but this year I'm going to get more specific in my recommendation. I recently did a blog post about 25 RV and camping themed books. Now, we will link to this in the show notes, but it's an embarrassment of riches. It's 25 of my favorite books. I have probably over 70 books that are RV and camping themed. I picked my 25 favorites. Some are travel narratives, some are travel guidebooks, and there's a lot of great coffee table books. We'll link to this in the show notes, and there will be a book for everyone, something that you will enjoy that'll help you get through the winterization blues in 2018. So look for that blog post in the show notes.
All right, and now this is, you know, something that is a classic Jeremy handbook tip. Just develop an obsession. It'll get you through any winter, right?
This is a very hoogly obsession.
What's your new obsession?
Develop a Coleman lantern obsession, like I have currently.
Yes.
And I'm not talking.
He's always got one going on.
I'm not talking about battery powered lanterns. I'm talking about fuel powered lanterns, either propane powered or the Coleman camp fuel powered. Now, I am blaming my buddy Phil from campingwithphil.com. On this obsession.
There's no such website, people.
Phil showed me some of his older kind of vintage Coleman equipment that runs on camp fuel, lantern and stove. And stoves, by the way, are awesome too. And I have just fallen into a rabbit hole of buying these things, both new and off of Craigslist or Facebook Marketplace. You can get them at really reasonable prices. I'm going to do some video walkthroughs of how to actually assemble and light these, because if you didn't grow up with these kind of lanterns, these fuel-powered lanterns, they're like a complete mystery. I mean, when I first opened up the box, when I bought the first one, I was like, oh my God, how do I assemble this thing?
A complete mystery like 8-tracks.
Even more so, because if you do it,
you don't know how to use it if you weren't, and that might be
If you put an 8-track in the wrong way, it won't light on fire, though. I mean, you have to do this right. There's just like a little bit of know-how involved in setting up these old lanterns with mantles. Now, when I say old lanterns, you can go buy a brand new one, right? Or you could go and find one that's 20 or 30 years old. And people collect these, by the way. I also got a book about them, like an ebook. And I get about 10 pages into this ebook about Coleman lanterns, and I realize the guy is a total prepper. And like he's into these lanterns because they're good for prepping.
Oh, is that going to be your next step?
I am an anti-prepper.
Yeah, we are.
I have to say this. I have mad respect for preppers, even though like I don't think the end of the world is nigh. because it's a lot of them are just handy and it's a hobby and it's more about the gear and knowing how to use the gear and the whole idea.
It gives them an excuse.
Yeah, it gives them an excuse to do all this stuff that's cool stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, if you want to think the world's going to end soon or the American government's going to crumble, that's your thing. That's not my thing. But I respect what you do and how you do it.
Our version of prepping is like having 1 gallon of bottled water.
Well, I have friends that are preppers, right? And here's my theory. My theory, if things get that bad.
I want to go in the first round.
Well, if things get that bad, you're going to have 2 weeks more than I have before everyone finds you to steal your stuff. But everyone's going to find your house because a lot of times people know who the prepper is on the block.
Yeah,
and if they have no food or water, they're going to be marching on your house with pitchforks. So you're going to get maybe a week to 2 weeks more than I'm going to get. And it's not like you're going to be flying to Hawaii on vacation because the planes will all be downed.
I just want to go in the first
round. Extra 2 weeks are not going to be happy weeks. So my whole theory is, okay, it's not going to matter that much if the economy collapses or something like that.
All right. Well, that took a startling turn. So you're next.
Oh, we're going to get an email about that.
Your next winter.
But by the way, these lanterns are really – they're beautiful. And I'm interested in the year ahead in buying camping gear that I can give to the boys one day. Of buying camp axes, of buying lanterns that are going to last for a generation.
And they're not going to want it.
That's not true. I told Theo that when he gets his first camper or pop-up camper or whatever, or when he starts taking his own family camping, that I'm going to give him one of my Estwing camping axes, and he was thrilled.
He
so was speak
excited.
For yourself.
All right. That's father-son bonding moments. All right. Your next winterization.
Do you think this is a good one? I don't know. It's not necessarily camping or RV or outdoors related, but we did this recently, and it was awesome. So we swapped date nights with another family on our block. Now, I recommend doing it with a family that you know.
Don't go knocking on doors looking for a family to swap.
We have friends up the road with 3 kids and trust them completely. They trust us completely. Stephanie and I, frankly, we don't go out on dates a lot. We do not get to go out and have a meal together a lot.
That has to pay for a babysitter knows
it's so expensive
to pay for the babysitter and to go out. And most of the time you're like, let's just put the kids to bed and
so
sit
I
on
decided
the couch,
to
right?
be the bold one, cut a deal. And I said to our friends, I was like, if you take our kids for a Friday night, we'll take your kids for a Friday night. We did it recently. Both of us had a great time doing it. I plan on doing it again. Get out and have a nice romantic hoogly dinner with your spouse.
Well, it's just a nice thing to do in the winter to get out of the house and to kind of get out of that cabin fever, to take the opportunity to do date nights. You're not going to do date nights when you're traveling, in the summer at the campground. So now what is your last tip?
Leave a campground review at rvfta.com. One of the best new features of our brand new, completely redesigned and reborn website is that there is a map of the United States with pins of campground reviews. Ones in orange mean that there is a corresponding Campground of the Week episode. And then you can also leave your own miniature campground reviews. And let me clarify. We're not asking for campground reviews. Keeping in the spirit with RVFTA, we are asking for campground recommendations. We just want the campgrounds that you have liked or loved so that you go to this section of our website and it's just filled with places that you're going to want to go. Stephanie, can you tell us a little bit more about this feature?
Yeah, we have been rolling this out slowly. We haven't been making a big announcement about it because right now it's a little tricky to maybe – it's not tricky to leave the review, but it can be tricky to know what to do to leave the review just because that section is not fully developed yet. However, it is fully operational. You can do it. All you have to do is to register, right? You make your own login name, you make your own password. And then once you've done that and you're logged in, you get an email that gives you access. Once you're logged in, you can just say, it'll say add a place. And when you click on that button, a place will come up. You can leave the review. You can add photos. You can add links. You add the address so it shows up on the map. I put in a sample of I have about 8 or 9 in there already. So if you want to go and you can see what I wrote, the pictures that I added in, it's really nice. You can add 2 or 3 or 4 images of the campground, which is great.
Well, I'm calling everybody out on this one. I'm saying to the RVFT community, give a big shout out to your favorite campgrounds on our website. I want this to have hundreds, if not thousands, of campgrounds where somebody who's dreaming about planning a trip can go to rvfta.com, click on campground reviews, and find just all of these recommendations of places that you all love so much. So please, everyone this winter, leave 4 or 5 campground recommendations on this new tool on our website.
All right, my turn.
I have a bonus one real quick.
Of course you do. You're being very verbose on this episode.
Get the Good Sam RV travel guide, that thing that looks like a phone book. It's $6.99 at Camping World, and there's a bunch of articles by Stephanie and I in there.
So read our articles and get you through the winter. All right. My turn now?
Stephanie's turn. And your list, I have not even looked at your list yet, just the way that this all unfolded. So I am going to – all these are going to be a surprise to me. So get started. Number one.
All right. So my first thing that I've been doing, and I've been having a lot of fun, and I'm going to be doing it through the winter, is testing meal delivery companies. So this has been something that's developed over a period of time for a variety of different reasons. We first reviewed Fireside Provisions last year for our Weekend Warriors episode, which has been some of our most popular podcast episodes ever, because many of our listeners are Weekend Warriors. And Fireside Provisions does this whole like camping meal thing where you get it delivered and basically you're all set for the food for the weekend. Now, unfortunately, one of our listeners said to me, oh, I went to get the Fireside Provisions and they're not delivering to our area anymore. And I was like, oh no. And I noticed that they had scaled back their zones. And, you know, I was like, okay, well there's, and then we started camping with some folks that she used one of her meal delivery options that she ordered. And she would just be like, oh, I just grab it and I bring it for the weekend with us. And it works perfectly. We camped with them a couple times and I saw her making these HelloFresh meals. It just really was inspiring to me. I was like, this is a great option. And I need to be able to kind of test all of the different ones out there to be able to talk about it, because this will be an entire episode that I have already tested out 1, 2, 3. I've already gone through 3 and I have 2 more that are on my agenda.
And all 3, correct me if I'm wrong, all 3 were really good.
Oh, but they're different. And so it's really important. And I'll go through it. I don't want to do any reviews right now, but there's a lot to say about each one and different folks will definitely want to choose different options. So
I'm so excited for this episode. I think it's a great idea for RVers and I'm hoping that you can help me learn to cook together with you because I am trying to cook more.
Well, that's my number 2 is cooking together with the kids. And obviously you too. You can be involved in that.
That wasn't in her notes, by the way.
Well, no, because honestly the boys love to cook with me. And sometimes when we're traveling and in the summer things are busier, you're outside all day and everything. It's not as scheduled and routine in the summer for us as it is in the winter. And so in the winter it's easier for me to kind of have that meal plan and be like, oh, I know what I'm making tonight and you can help me with this. And I take turns with the boys. But every time they cook with me, they really enjoy it. I'm able to teach them new things. And I'm really doing that even more this winter with all of them. So it's a good opportunity to do that when we're in the house and to teach them skills that then are transferable to the campground.
They really love cooking with you, mm-hmm. Steph.
They do.
They do. And I think it has to be nurtured.
Yeah.
You know, I really do. Because I so regret that I'm just learning now in my 40s how to cook. And if these boys could grow up cooking, I just think that it's going to enrich their lives. So I really want to push this.
All right. So number 3, I would knock out home projects. And I know it might sound like, oh, well, of course. But at the same time, I think that a lot of people, you always hear about spring cleaning. And you always hear about spring and summer a lot of the time people doing things. But that's not actually the way that we work. And I have a feeling it's not the way a lot of RVers work, right? Like the winter is really the perfect time to dig in and do all those things that people associate with spring cleaning, like clean out your closets and organize and everything. And I think I realized that there's a pattern that every year we start to tackle home things. Like we had our entire downstairs pretty much painted last fall, like late fall, you know? I mean, we just end up doing these things. Now we have a contractor coming for work in our basement and everything. So, and I love doing that during the time when it's not that nice outside.
And then when it's nice outside, you go for a hike or go camping.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to do those things in the house. And I'm just one of those people. I do not want to be doing chores in the summer.
I want to redo our podcast studio. Yeah. I want to make our podcast studio like really nice.
All right. So those are things are definitely on the agenda for the winter. So number 4, we kind of referenced that wardrobe topic last year, like creating a capsule wardrobe and how I got a lot of comments on it, but I have never really provided a lot of information about how I've done it or how I've gone from like just overpacking for RV trips and still feeling like I had nothing to wear to feeling like I really pack a streamlined wardrobe and I love everything that I have and I'm comfortable in it and it works for that lifestyle. And I've never shared that. So that's actually on my goal list for this winter is creating some of that wardrobe content for RVFTI. Yeah, there was a recent comment on a post that we put up that it was like, I don't know how to have a camp style. Like I know my camp style. And I thought, yeah, well, I remember feeling that way. And I had to figure out how do I dress comfortably and practically at the campground, what's like my campground take on my wardrobe? And I've done that. And so I thought, okay, well, I can try. I've never really done a lot of clothing writing or content, but I'm going to do it this winter.
And dressing for the campground is different than a lot of other things.
Especially traveling, right? You're traveling to Charleston and you're going to go out and do tours in the city and you're going to be at the campground. And like, what does that wardrobe look like when you're packing for that? So
the capsule wardrobe sounds even more important to me because you can need a lot of different variations and that makes it easy to overdo it.
All right. So now my last suggestion for winterization blues and kicking those things to the curb is, to be honest, something that we've done now last year and kind of did the year before, although we didn't rent, is, you know what, go camping, but go camping in a warm place. Like the last couple of years, we talked about extending your camping season, right? Or winter camping. And we did that. But you know what? I really look forward to going down to Florida in January and camping in warm weather in the middle of winter.
And renting an RV again.
I don't think that there's anything that gets me through the winter as much as that one warm weather trip.
Stepping off the plane in Florida in the winter and knowing that there's a camping trip in front of us, you know, not stepping off and being in a hotel. That's just not exciting to me. It's not. But stepping off that plane and knowing we're going to a campground and renting an RV is, it's a thrill. And I recommend if you can do it, if you can pull it off, try to do it.
Right. And then at the same time, if I ended up in a hotel in some tropical island somewhere, I think I'd be okay with that also. That would help with my winterization blues.
That's not in the cards though.
I wouldn't be disappointed.
All right, we're going to come back in a second. And we asked on RVFTA, the group on Facebook, for some listener suggestions. And we got some really fun ones. So stay tuned for those. Welcome back to the show, everybody. It's time for segment 3 of our Beat Those Winterization Blues episode for 2018. Now we have some listener suggestions from our RVFTA Facebook group. But first, it's time for a sponsored message from our friends at Cabela's.
Cabela's is the world's foremost outfitter, and they have everything your family needs to get into the great outdoors. This holiday season, we've been highlighting some of our favorite Cabela's products that would also make great holiday gifts or gifts to get you through the winter. I am so happy with my new cold spring winter coat from Cabela's that I highlighted on our holiday gift guide.
Hoogly.
Yes, it's very hoogly because it's warm without being bulky and big. So it's been serving its purpose.
Somewhat form-fitting in a very nice way.
It definitely fits nicely. It has a nice cut to it. It has an uneven hemline, which gives it a little bit more of a trendy look to it. And I love the double side pockets that make it really easy for me to like kind of shove my keys or my phone or anything into those upper side pockets, which are always nicer than the front pockets. So we've had more snow than usual at this time of the year here. And so I've been wearing this and I've been wearing the winter boots that I bought also actually more than I would have expected. And I've been very happy. So I wanted to, they're still getting 2 thumbs up for me. I love them.
And links to both those things will be in the show notes.
RVFTA.com.
By the way, it did snow here recently and Wesley and Theo did a great job shoveling the driveway. I was a proud dad. Wesley was shoveling the driveway with a pink pirate shovel that he bought at a campground. And he asked me afterwards if I liked his pink pirate shovel.
You do you, Wesley. You do you.
I said yes, that I did like this pink pirate shovel. Yep. All right, so time for some listener suggestions from the RVFTA Facebook group. So Erica wrote and said, my trailer isn't stored at my house, but I often find reasons to go visit it and maybe hang out for a little bit while I'm there. Now, a lot of people said something similar to Erica, that they actually find reasons to go sit in their trailers in the winter. That is the winterization blues right there, right? When you are pulled out to your trailer and you're just like sitting in it in the winter months, yeah. You know you have the winterization blues. And I think it is a good method for at least alleviating it a little bit, just smelling the camper and spending a little time in the camper.
All right, Nikki wrote, after every trip we make a vacation video set to music that highlights all that we saw and did on that trip. Tonight we watched the video from our Florida trip back in January. It's a great way to reminisce and about great adventures we have had and build the anticipation of the adventure ahead. It is time consuming to make those photo albums and those videos of your travel, but it is such a great way to get into that camping.
It's a family legacy.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you can watch them every year.
Right. And kids love that.
Shay Zam wrote, I drive my kids crazy taking ornament pictures. And she's referring to the hashtag RVFTA ornament contest, which is still going on when this podcast drops. She adds, I look for deals on fuzzy blankets.
Camp casual.
Don't we all?
Yep.
And of course, winter camp. Good for you.
And Betsy wrote, our trailer is stored at a lake in the mountains. We'll drive up there and hike in and spend the afternoon every so often in the winter. Sometimes the snow is so deep we have to shovel it away from the door. It's usually too deep to put the slides out, but we'll make some hot chocolate and play cards for a few hours before we hike back out. That's such a nice day.
That was my favorite thing.
I love that.
If somebody, Betsy or anyone else, called me up and said, hey, do you want to hike out to my camper? And then shovel snow away from the door and then make hot chocolate and play cards and then hike back out. I'd be like, that sounds like an awesome day.
That's a nice day. Yeah.
So hoogly.
Yeah. I wonder if they use snowshoes and stuff like that. I mean, like that's like serious.
Cool.
Yeah.
Right, Debbie wrote, make camping plans, shop at Cabela's and go to RV shows.
Check, check, check.
By the way, it's been a while since we've been to the Cabela store. I would like to get there this winter.
Yeah, we always do a nice winter trip there. And Kelly wrote, creating my RV camping wish list on Amazon. It's a long list.
But Kelly, is it longer than mine?
Probably not.
No, I bet Kelly might have a long Amazon list. I get it.
You just buy it. You just like, you don't make the list. You just buy it.
Well, no, there's still things on the list. You should go look. Penny wrote, I go out to my driveway and sit in my camper from time to time so it doesn't forget how much I love it. And Penny, we want you to know, we want everyone to know, your camper will not forget you over the course of the winter. It knows how much you love it.
Yeah. All right, guys. So thanks for sharing those tips for getting through the winterization blues. All of our listeners down there in Florida and Texas are just hee-hawing and laughing
I bet they enjoy this episode too, though.
Yeah. Because they feel
like, I got it made.
Yeah, they feel so self-satisfied. Like, I don't want to.
Oh, yeah. We'll get smug comments on the forum.
That's okay. We do this for our northern people every year. All right, guys, we are going to be right back, and we are going to have our RVFTA news roundup. Stay tuned.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. It is time for our RVFTA news roundup, and we want to remind everyone that we have a brand new, completely redesigned RVFTA.com. And this website is awesome. And what we did, and it was Stephanie's vision right from the beginning, is that we combined the Campground of the Week website with the RV Family Travel Atlas website and our blog. It's all there. It's all easy to navigate. It was nearly impossible to search through our old content in any kind of fun browsing kind of way. Now you could literally go and just kind of surf around our website and find old episodes that you missed or revisit some of your favorites or check out a campground of the week that you didn't care about a year ago, but now you might want to visit, and then also see our blog. And it's not just all lumped together in this completely disorganized mess.
Right. So they're all in the same place, but they're also separate, right? The campground of the week, the RVFTA episodes, and the blogs are separated out. It's just not one long-running blog, which was what our other website was, because that's what we started out as. We started out as a blog, so just now, took us a little while to move along.
I'm kind of emotional about this next piece of news.
Oh, boy.
And it's tied into the redesign of the website. And just hear us out on this whole thing, because there's a vision here. And it really is like we're relaunching our entire brand in a lot of ways. It's like RVFTA 2.0 to me. So in 2018, we're going to be moving to a seasons format. So we are going to do 3 months on and then a month off, 3 months on, and then a month off, 3 months on, and then a month off. And during that month off, we might drop some short special podcasts. In fact, I really think we will
do that. Yeah, there'll be a short little mini podcast every week when we would normally drop ours. And it'll just be a very focused episode on something that we maybe get a lot of questions about, but that we don't normally get to actually incorporate into an entire episode.
Right. So we'll be off in January, but we'll drop those short mini episodes, but you won't be getting your full-length hour-long RVFTA episode. And the reason is not that we're scaling back. I think that the reason is that we're pushing forward with our brand, and we want to do a lot of different things with RVFTA. And for me, one of the things I really want to do is blog. I mean, we're both writers, and the podcasting thing has been so time-consuming that we have hardly done any writing for our own blog. We write for a lot of companies, whether it's GoRVing or Progressive or KOA or Jellystone or whatever, but we have not had fresh writing on our own website that can be quirky, creative, and whatever we want it to be about. So I feel like for me anyway, part of pulling back a little bit on the podcasting is pushing forward a lot more on writing. How about you?
Yeah, so we are going to have a season is going to be 13 episodes, and they're going to be a great 13 episodes, and then we'll have that month off, but you'll still get your little mini episodes. So it'll be okay. Okay, everybody. It'll be okay. And of course, we're still going to be over on our Facebook, doing Facebook Lives when we're traveling to in Tampa at the Super Show in Florida and things like that. So, you know, even though I know we actually have a lot of podcast listeners who aren't on social media. If you do want to follow along with that content that we're creating when we are in the off season, right, you can do that over on our social channels.
I said at the beginning I was emotional because we have done a podcast every single week for over 3 years without a week off. And it's flown by and we've loved every second of it. But it's just kind of crazy to me that we've done so many episodes in a row over the course of 3 years. I'm really proud of all that. And I think this is going to work out really well for us moving forward.
All right. Now we are going to be in Tampa. Hopefully you guys all know that the Florida RV Super Show is from January 17th to the 21st at the Florida State Fairgrounds. There are over 1,550 RVs there and over 450 vendors. There is no other RV show like it in the entire country. This is the place to be in January.
This is the best RV show in America.
Yeah.
Partly because of the location, but hugely because of the number of RVs. And a lot of people make it a vacation. They go to the Tampa RV show and they make it a Florida winter vacation. And that's what we do.
And we have some people that are doing it like that this time too. In fact, we've got Keith Dunbar coming in.
Casita Dean.
We've got Casita Dean and Laura coming
in. Keith and Tia will be there again.
Yeah. So it's going to be a fun time. We are going to have meet and greet sessions and meetups planned for our time at the show. So keep an eye both on social media, but also over on our new RVFTA.com. There is an events calendar and it will say, any events we have coming up and what the event is on the website. So you can check there. And also on the events page at facebook.com, we'll have the event there. And in our private Facebook group too. So you can, if you want to know where we're going to be and what time, you can find out.
Now let's end this episode the way that every good episode should end, with a Camp Casual coupon code.
Yeah, it's the best way to do it. Camp Casual was so nice this whole holiday season with giving great coupon codes to our listeners. And they are continuing with that 20% off with the code HOLIDAYRVFTA, all one word, all capitals, and until December 22nd. So squeeze that last order in for 20% off at campcasual.com. That's a good coupon code.
All right. Huge thank you to our sponsors, to Jayco, to the Thetford Corporation, to Cabela's, and to AccuVitac. And we hope to see all of you at the Florida RV Super Show.
See you at the RV Show.